First Peter chapter 3. And I'll read one verse. One verse. And please, I will give you so many scriptures. As time will permit, we'll read some. If we cannot read, please write them down. Go back and study them. I didn't say go and read them. Study them. Those scriptures mean something as far as our gathering here today and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is concerned. Verse 15. This is what Peter was telling the church. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. My emphasis here is the reason of your hope. The reason of your hope. That is the emphasis of that verse. Because if there is no hope we have, if there is no hope, there is something you are hoping for, you will make all the sacrifices you are making to be a Christian. You will suffer all the deprivations and all the temptations and the trials, the self-denials. Certainly, it is not just because you have chosen to live that life, but it's because there is a hope. There is a hope. There's something that is propelling us. There's a hope. You know, negatively, before you can see a man that will go and tie bomber, declare himself a suicide bomber, somebody deceived him that there is a hope. Eh? If you die like that, something will happen. You go to heaven. Since he's already not enjoying the earth, and they say there is something better there, he said, tie the bomb, make I go. Because, have you ever seen any rich man be a suicide bomber? Who do they use? They use poor people that have no hope here. Poverty, don't wire them. They say, just go, we'll take care of your family here. Take money, and then you'll become a martyr. So they do it because they are deceived that there is a hope. But we are not deceived. Hallelujah. We are not deceived. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 23. Paul described that hope also. Acts chapter 23 and verse 6. Paul is arrested, brought before the high priest by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were trying him. Hallelujah. But when Paul perceived that the one part we are Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Why is he standing before the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Hallelujah. Why? Amen. Why is he being tried? Because he was preaching that there is a resurrection. That was the reason they were trying him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, so that we just get it clear. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that what? There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Amen. So you now understand why Apostle Paul was ready to die for the gospel. There was a hope. That same hope is the same hope we have now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The emphasis there is that he was preaching that there is a resurrection for the just and the unjust. And he made reference to the law. Amen. That even the Old Testament, the law, also the prophets spoke about it. Daniel chapter 12. I say I will give you scriptures. If there is no time, you read it or study it on your own. This is the end time prophecy that Daniel gave. Daniel chapter 12. And if I read it from verse 1, and at that time, the end time, amen, the end of all things, this period that Daniel is talking about, it is about the period the rapture has just taken place. The gospel is now going back to Israel. The Antichrist is now on the throne. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now verse 2 is my emphasis. And many of them that sleep in the dust, those in the grave of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, that is the resurrection of the just, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, that is the resurrection of the unjust. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, preachers, Christians, whose life influence people to give their life to Christ. They that turn many to righteousness, as they will shine as the stars forever and ever. So Daniel prophesied of the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Christ in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. If you cannot open your Bible fast, then listen. You can always get the tape. Amen. Because we as believers of the end time message, it is not enough that you believe. You must also be established in the present truth. And above all, because the stand we take is contrary to the general stand in Christendom, you should position yourself to explain why you believe what you believe from the scripture. Amen. Okay, this is what Christ said concerning the same thing that Daniel saw and the same thing that Apostle Paul was echoing out. Verse 28 and verse 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. That is resurrection. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, that is resurrection of the just, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, that is condemnation. And concerning the resurrection of life, two resurrections here, Daniel is talking about, Apostle Paul is talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, resurrection unto life and resurrection unto condemnation. Otherwise, it is called as the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The resurrection of life comes first before the resurrection of condemnation. The resurrection of life is the first resurrection. The resurrection of condemnation is the second resurrection. And we are not looking forward to the second resurrection. We are looking forward to the first resurrection. Am I correct? Anybody waiting for the second resurrection? Eh? Answer me now. Wave your hand. You don't want to come in the first resurrection. You want to come in the second resurrection. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. But let me tell you something, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, salvation is not by mouth. Me, if I die, I must go to heaven. Me, if I die, lie, I no go to hell. So because you say, I no go to hell, therefore you will go to heaven. It's a lie, yo. I say, if you want to go the second resurrection, put up your hand. Nobody put up your hand. My church, the second resurrection is there, and people will go there, and these are the people that will go there. Fornicators will be there. Liars will be there. Drunkards will be there. Effeminate will be there. Homosexuals will be there. Lesbians will be there. Murderers will be there. 419 will be there. Adulterers will be there. Eh? Eh? You are guilty of all these things I'm saying, and you know that these ones, they are those that will go to hell. Second resurrection is for them. I say, if you want to go, we are waiting for the second resurrection, put up your hand. You didn't put up your hand. You are adding iniquity upon yourself because you are lying by putting down your hand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Second resurrection is waiting for liars, fornicators, adulterers. It's for second resurrection. You see, I don't want to believe truly that somebody here, no human being wants to go to hell after hearing about hell. But the problem is, you take things for granted. You are alive now, and you think that you will remain alive like this till tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, you will continue again. Since you are not sick, you don't have headache, you don't have anything, so you believe that life still continue. I'm still young, when I'm getting old, I will adjust. And when you begin to think like that, Satan has taken over and is marching in front, and you are following him to hell. That's why it is important for us to know some things. There is the first resurrection, there is the second resurrection. And I must add this, always remember that you don't own the last breath that you have. You don't own it. That's why as Christians, we should live our life prepared. Should anything happen? See, we talk about untimely death. Who determines the time? Is it you? When we say you will not die by the hand of the enemy, we didn't say you will not die by the hand of God. God can decide to call you away, take you away from the earth. If you face him, which side of him will you stand? The judgment side or the glorious side? And so it's important. When that young man took off to travel, did he know you'd be involved in that accident? If he had died in that condition, Uncle, he was healthy, he was going to work. He got one job he was going to do. Happily, he's traveling and going. Amen. Okay, but the emphasis here is, let's be established on what this resurrection thing is, what the Bible teaches concerning this resurrection. Job had that same revelation. Because the book of Job is loaded. Job is one man, one human being that sat down and began to look at what the meaning of life, what life is all about. What life is all about. You know? And every true Christian must have that type of spirit. When I was young, there was something that I used to do. You know, when I was small, there was a question that was in my mind. And I think people still do that, young children who know better. I say, who born my father? Who born the person who born my father? who born the person we born the person we born my father? So who come born the person we born the person we born the person? So you go to think they go to smarter, you go cut off because you can't get it. Amen. You see, and anybody that thinks like that will soon find an answer to existence. Okay, Job. Let's open Job, chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Hallelujah. And I'll read it from verse 7. It says, for there is hope of a tree. Can you see somebody thinking? If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth buds like a plant. But man dieth and wasted away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayed and dried up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest have keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And he now asks that question in verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That is a deep thought there. As at chapter 14, Job was still wondering until we get to chapter 19. Open chapter 19. Verse 25. That was the answer to Job. Hallelujah. For I know, Job 19 verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is Job that was not in a period of grace, had not known anything about the Redeemer coming to redeem us. But prophetically, God showed him something. Because he was asking questions. He who seeks will find. Hey, many of us here that are followers of this end time message, we are troubled and asking questions concerning the decay that is in Christianity today. It was in that condition that God made us to discover the end time message, the answer to what we are seeking for. Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Did it come to pass? Did the Redeemer stand at the latter day upon the earth? Jesus walked upon the shores of this earth again. And though after my scheme worms destroy this body, hey, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Do you understand what he's saying there? Do you understand what he's saying here? Eh? When a man dies, after some days, what happened? Eh? If you open that body, you will start to see maggots. Those maggots did not come from outside. Those maggots are in your body. They are inside of us. The skin worms, God created it so that, you know, he will decompose you, turn you back again to the sand that you have always been using those maggots. So every one of us here, we have a maggot, skin worm inside of us, waiting for the day life will go, and then they will go into action to return you to what you have always been, sand. The body you have that you are bleaching. The body you have. See, somebody needs that revelation. so that you will know where to place your heart. Stop placing your heart on vanities. They are vanities. I didn't say you should not take care of this body, but there is a way you go and worship this body to the detriment of your soul. This body, skin worms are inside. But Apostle Paul say, Job is saying, though these skin worms, oh blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah, skin worms, though they destroy this body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now see where he's going. He saw that the skin worms destroyed his body, but he still saw himself in another body before God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 26 again. And though after my skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Apostle Paul had the same revelation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you are there, the first two verses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we that believe in resurrection, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know, verse 1, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, which house is he referring to? Your house in your village? Your house for Lagos? Which house is he referring to? Now, church, listen. If he's referring to this body as your house, it means, looking at me now, you are not looking at Pastor Moses. Eh? You are looking at the house of Pastor Moses. The body you are putting on now is housing you. If this body dissolves, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, there is another house waiting for you. This time, it is a heavenly house, not made with hands. It's not your papa and your mama that came together and produced it. No. God did not put sand together and breathe into it. No. This time, it is a heavenly body. Heavenly body. And then, academicians and philosophers are asking Apostle Paul, how is it possible? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is how Apostle Paul answered them. And let me make a little long reading there. If you can follow me, it will be nice. Verse 35. Are you there? But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? What did he answer them? What did he say? Thou fool. Now, why did he call them foolish? Listen, he said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Amen. Amen. That which thou sowest is not quickened, cannot come to life and bear fruit, except it does what? It dies. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die. Amen. Praise the Lord. It abideth alone. Does that not explain the mystery of why Jesus had to die. You see why he had to die. And you see why we too have to die. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the first son, the only son of God that God had. Amen. He took his only begotten son, came to earth here and sowed him. He planted him so that he can be quickened. From that one seed, he can now get more children from it. When one seed of a plant is planted, first it dies. But when it dies, listen, church, naturally there is a life inside that seed. There is a life inside that seed. Hidden somewhere, natural law is there. That life that is there is caged in there until it falls to the ground and dies. Then that life springs up. And when it is coming out now, it is coming to form a new body. That one seed comes out, one seed only planted. But when it comes out, when it is time for harvest, will it be only one you will harvest? No, that is the law of sowing and reaping. When we tell the people, it's a law. Sowing and reaping. See, if you have the last money that you have, you are sure. I'm telling you, that is a Bible principle. The last thing you should do is to consume all your harvest. Leave some to sow. You have a problem and all you have cannot meet your problem. You need money. But all you have cannot meet your problem. Take that all you have, go and sow it on a needy person. It will die. That is, you will have nothing. It will look as if you are dead and finished, but you have just ignited a law. You have just ignited a law. But I'm not going that way now. I want us to get to know how God himself decided to use the resurrection power to have his children on earth here. The only begotten son, he came to the earth here and sowed them. On the third day, he resurrected after he died. And when he resurrected, hallelujah, 50 days after his resurrection, how many children did God have? 120 at the upper room. The next day, 3,000 was added. Small time again, 5,000 from that one seed that was sown. That's what Apostle Paul is explaining here. This body here is useless. It has to die. This body has to die so that a new you can come up. And this new you that, come on, let's finish what Apostle Paul is explaining here. Are you there now? Okay. Verse 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat, of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him. And to every seed his own body. Our flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, the body that enters the grave, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. When he resurrected, he came to the disciples and said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. The body that we have now, when it enters the grave, it is a natural body. But when it is time to raise, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Because when Jesus Christ was alive, he will walk. When he wants to enter a door, he will knock until they open before he will enter. But after his resurrection, pam, some people were walking on the way to Emmaus. Small time, he just appeared there, pam, and was walking with them. Another time, pam, he was by the riverside to see those people who were fishing. When he finished talking, he would disappear again. Pam, he's somewhere else. Church, that is the kind of body that when we resurrect, we shall have. Angelic bodies. Amen. Therefore, you will not need in the millennium, you don't need a car. You don't need transport. Eh? You don't need aeroplane to go anywhere. You go there as you will. You will yourself. Okija, pyam. You are there. Cha. Sickness. Cha. You are there. Ohafia. Cha. You are there. Just will it. Amen. Anywhere, that is the kind of body we will have. Which verse? Okay. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam. Who is the last Adam? Jesus. Shout that name again. Jesus. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now listen. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. It was not the spiritual that was first, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. First Adam had to come natural before the second Adam came spiritual. We too, we came natural before we can put on another spiritual body. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, you and me. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly after resurrection. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we bore the image of Adam made with sand, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That is the hope of our calling. That is our hope. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Hallelujah. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Now from verse 51, he's now explaining this change of bodies. Because there is the resurrection for those who are covered in the grave. Listen, church. Those who are covered in the grave, they are one group of people that will resurrect. But we too, this body is a grave. This body that we are putting up now, there will be some at the rapture, they will come from the grave. While some will still be alive inside this prison yard. Do you know this is a prison yard? Do you know this is a prison yard? It's a prison yard. It's a prison yard. Serious prison yard. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me prove it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Put your finger here. I never finished First Corinthians chapter 15. Just a few minutes and we shall close this session. See what it says. Let me read it again from verse 1, where I read before. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this house, this one, that's where I'm going, we groan. That's why I call it prison house. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's why I say this body is a prison house. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye. So how long will it be before the change will take place? How long? Eh? In the twinkling of an eye. Who can measure that time? Eh? Less than a second. Less than a second. Bam! It don't change. One of these days, bam! I'll become an angel. One of these days, because somebody is asking, how is it possible that we will move from here and go up? Which aeroplane angels they take to come down? When they finish their message, pam, they go again. Jesus at Galilee there, stood there on the mount, and they saw him after he spoke with them. He was lifted up, and he was going, and he was going. Amen. Before the angel said, why stand you here, men of Galilee, gazing? He said, this same Jesus you see going, he will so like manner come back. Which aeroplane did he use to go up? The body had been changed. Therefore, when he said, Moses, I'll come up hither. Yeah. And so they go. The law of gravity cannot hold us anymore. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the hope of our calling. Let me finish that scripture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this body, this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which given us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Through our Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the hope of our calling. Now, resurrection, there is the first resurrection and the second resurrection. The first resurrection is in three phases. You are hearing us for the first time. Three phases. The first phase of the first resurrection, the first phase of the first, it started in Matthew 27. Remember, there was a prophecy in Isaiah 26. Let's read that of Isaiah 26 first. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah saw it, verse 19. If you are there, Isaiah 26 verse 19. Thy dead man shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. When did that prophecy fulfill? Matthew 27. Amen. Let me read it from verse 50. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, that's on his crucifixion, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open. That's when that prophecy was fulfilled. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. The first part of the first resurrection was at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't come out alone. Remember, he went to hell. He went down and preached to the souls that were kept in prison. And the Bible says that is when he went and then separated the two sections and took, hallelujah, the dead saints that were on the ground, because he had not yet resurrected. They had to remain there. He brought them up to keep them in paradise. Those that he brought out, because he now made an open show of the enemy of Satan and collected the keys of hell and death. Those saints that were there right from the days of Abel down to the time of his resurrection, all the saints that died that period, they brought them out. And remember, Joseph knew of that resurrection. Joseph knew about it. Hallelujah. When he told them, he said that the Lord will surely visit you, while he was in Egypt. He knew it. In fulfillment of it, Moses came. He said, when they'll be going to the promised land, he said they should carry his bones and go to the promised land. He knew there would be a resurrection. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Joseph was among those that resurrected. I believe it. Their graves were open. Amen. It's so interesting, church. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says there was earthquake when he gave up the ghost. Amen. That earthquake, shake. It was the shaking of the earthquake that made the veil to tear into two. One more time, all the shakable things shall be shaken. One more time, this earth is going to shake again. But I'm not going that way today. Church, the Bible says, and the graves were open. The day he died, the graves were open because of the shaking. But the saints didn't come out, they remained there, because they can't come out. Let me tell you why they cannot come out. Praise the Lord. The Bible in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 let us know that Jesus Christ is referred to as the first begotten from the dead. He is the first begotten from the dead. If he does not come out, others cannot come out. Because he was the victory over death. He is the resurrection and the life. None of them has power to come out unless he comes and calls them out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And those saints, the graves were open and they came out. Church, they didn't just come out and they were spirits. They went to Jerusalem. They went about and believers saw them. They appeared to many to see resurrection is real. Continue. I believe with the whole of my heart. That was what gave them what I call rapturing faith. They saw evidence of resurrection. Therefore, this life meant nothing to them. Abraham was shown a city. That was what God did for him. Church, you know why I say this? It's important you catch what I want to say. Church, there must be a reason why you are a fanatical Christian. It comes only from an experience you have that confirms the reality of God. The experience is not gift. The experience is not you hearing voice or seeing vision. There's an experience you have that gives you an assurance that you are not walking in vain. Abraham saw a vision of a city. He looked all around the earth. He didn't see any city like that. But God said, that is where you are going. Because of that experience he had, he decided to live on earth here like a pilgrim, knowing that any time from now, I see myself here, I know I don't belong here. There's a city where God said, I am going. I look around, it cannot be Lagos. I go America, it cannot be America. I go Tokyo, it cannot be Tokyo. I go Japan, earthquake, don't confirm up. I went everywhere. It is not it. Therefore, his eye was on that vision he saw. See, so many of you have called me to tell me, Pastor, I saw the rapture. I saw people disappear. I saw people going. And there was confusion. I saw. I will laugh. I always answer you. I say, it is God talking to you personally to let you know that this thing about rapture is real, so that you can prepare yourself to be ready. Now, somebody who has that type of experience, nobody is going to tell you, stop wearing earring. Stop wearing trouser. Nobody is going to tell you that. Every day your prayer is, Lord, when you come to call your people, remember me, O Lord. Hey, make I not miss this thing. For that dream, I no go. For that dream, I no go. Father, I want to go. Eternal, eternal life, eternal, eternal life. Your friend for school. Then they say, see one fine earring. You go look at which earring. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. Because wait till you see, she no see. That's why I say salvation is a personal affair. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know that Lot and Abraham, there was problem? Bible say when God called Abraham, he called him alone, but he moved Lot to follow him, and you saw the problem he had. Sometimes some problems occur around you to cause separation, so that God's purpose in your life will come to pass. Yes, so your uncle can drive you from the house. Yes, so your friend can kick you out of that house. Yes, so your job, you can lose your job. Yes, so frustrations around. It is sometimes to cause separation. And then Abraham said, okay, let us separate now. Choose anywhere you want. Lot looked towards Sodom and he saw prosperity. He said, now that side I go. He chose prosperity. And ministers of God not choosing prosperity now. And Abraham, all he wanted is go. Whether it is prosperity, whether anything, there is a revelation God gave me. It's more than what I'm seeing happening there in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's more than anything I'm seeing around here. Personal experience. And such people can never be influenced negatively. Anybody that you see another Christian influencing you, it is because you have no root that comes only through an experience. Once you have that root, brother, Sister, you have that root. You remain unshakable. What is in your mind is too much to be distracted. That's what gave rise to that songwriter. If you won't go, don't hinder. It was an inspired song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, I read it. I said, and even Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, refer to him as the first begotten from the dead. Among all the children of God that were condemned to death, Christ too was condemned. He died. But he is the first begotten from the dead. From the dead. He is the first begotten from the dead. And that, praise God, confirms the law. Remember that the law is a shadow of things to come. And if you go to Leviticus chapter 23, the ordinance, the feast of the first fruit there. The first fruit, that feast was speaking about Christ. Of your harvest, you take a sheaf of the first fruit and you wave it. And when are you supposed to wave it? You are supposed to wave it on the day following the Sabbath. And what is the day following the Sabbath? Sunday. I'm reading Bible. Okay, let's read it. Leviticus 23. I want to give the scripture so that I can just conclude and we close. Leviticus 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, talking about the order of resurrection, he said first, he referred to Christ, the first fruit. What did he say? The law, the priest will take the sheaf and wave it before the people on the morrow after the Sabbath. Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday is the day you will wave it. The first fruit, Christ Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 refers to Christ, the first fruits. It was referring as him being the first fruit. That the law, all that ordinance, that ceremony they were doing in Leviticus chapter 23 that Moses gave was a shadow of something to come. Was a type of Christ that will rise and resurrect on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the Bible in Acts chapter 1 says when he resurrected, he went to town and then appeared to his disciples, to many. Up to 500 saw him. That is the waving. Waving for the people to see the first fruit being waved for all to see. He is the first begotten of the Father. The first begotten from the dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the reason is why that thing is important. Lack of revelation. All Pentecostal preachers see in the whole Old Testament, what they're looking for is something to make them make more money. There are churches that celebrate annually wave offering. Now you know the meaning of wave offering. I know a church at Ajawo Estate. Headquarters is at Ajawo Estate. Every year they do wave offering. You are to bring the best offering you have and wave it for all to see and drop it at the altar. So you have to bring the best. Of course, you bring the best since you are going to wave it for everybody to see. So if you have your best suit, you carry it, your best car, khaki, you know, things like that. Then they are dancing. Say it's a law in the Bible. The Bible says you should bring it and wave it for all to see. Then they drop it at the altar. That is all they saw there. The church, the bride, goes deeper than that. Hallelujah. It is a type of the resurrection of Jesus and how he appeared for people to see. Praise the Lord. That fulfilled the first part of the first resurrection. The second part is the one that we are expecting now. That one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Can we read it too? For those who may not have. Let me read it from verse 13. I read it 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is that same change that he was telling the Corinthians when he said, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall change. We shall all be changed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the second part. And this second part is important for me to explain something before we round up. Why is it possible for this body to change? First and foremost, church, listen. Listen. It's very important. Before this body can be changed, the inner man has to be changed. This physical change is in two phases. Jesus Christ himself had to undergo the same experience. Amen. Jesus Christ was born like a human being. He came from heaven to earth to demonstrate something for us. Church, listen, it's very important. He came to John the Baptist by the riverside and demanded to be baptized. John, who knew who he was, said, you should be the one baptizing me. He said, suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. That scripture, not too many people understand it. When he said, John, do it like that. Permit it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. What is it to fulfill? God works by principles. He too must fulfill that principle. Number one, John, you have just said to the whole world, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And you know in the Old Testament, a sacrificial lamb will first be washed. Here am I, wash me. Fulfill all righteousness. Secondly, Jesus knew that something was about to happen. As soon as he entered that water and came out, heaven opened. And he received the Holy Ghost. Before the eyes of everybody, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He was telling everybody, "This is where I am," but that is not even where I am going now. Praise the Lord. He received the Holy Ghost. He was a carrier of the Holy Ghost. If I say only this one, we close. Thank you. He received the Holy Ghost. His body, hallelujah. The spirit inside of him, blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah, is the spirit that enabled him to come back to life after 3 days. If he didn't have that spirit in him, he would have remained there dead forever. Church, you can never talk of resurrection if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can never talk of resurrection if you have not received the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will also quicken your body by that spirit that dwelleth in you. The emphasis is the spirit that dwell in you. That same spirit was on Elisha. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That spirit was on Elisha. The Bible says he was dead and buried. There was a war that was taking place. And then somebody died. One of the soldiers died. And they wanted to bury him. They saw the sepulcher of Elisha. And they decided to just throw that dead body there. When they threw that dead body there, the dead body fell on the bones of Elisha. The man came back to life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came back to life. He came back to life. That same spirit, it is in you. It follows you to the grave, waiting for the trump of God, the voice of resurrection. That's why it's so important, church, that you receive the Holy Ghost if you are hoping to be in the resurrection of life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't you ever think of resurrection. No resurrection, no Holy Ghost, no resurrection. Lie, no Holy Ghost, no resurrection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the second resurrection. We are changed by the spirit that is in us. We go up. Then, the foolish virgins, they are the last set of people. We confirm that in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. They belong to one of the groups there. The foolish virgins will pay with their blood, but they will resurrect to join us in the millennium. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now, that completes the first resurrection. The second resurrection, Revelation chapter 20. And that is the one none of you must partake of it. Let me read it from verse 4. And I saw thrones, Revelation 20 verse 4. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. You see? That is the foolish virgins. And for the word of God. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. So anybody that died through a shipwreck, the sea will look for your body and bring it out. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the second resurrection. The ground will open. Anybody that does not come out now in this first resurrection, you will remain there until after the 1,000 years. You will remain in the grave, in that bondage, in that chain, in that darkness, in hell, until after 1,000. Do you imagine what it means to be in a human prison yard for just 1 year? If you die now without the Holy Ghost, if you die now without the hope of resurrection, if you don't go in the rapture that is set to take place any moment from now, you will not resurrect again. You will remain in that grave for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, they are not resurrecting for mercy. You will resurrect for Jesus to tell you the reason why you are entering hellfire. You are only changing address from hell to hellfire. How can somebody be in a church like this? I hear all these things we've been speaking about the reality of something that will soon take place and still play with your eternal destination. You are living here now, you are still going to smoke your cigarette. You are living here now, you are still going to live the same life children of hell live there. Every unbeliever is condemned to go to hell if they don't repent. You saw the light and you are still going that way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The resurrection of Christ, it is the rising of the soul. The whole world has lied in darkness. John introduced him as the light that shineth. Darkness refused to comprehend it. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Have you received that power to be a child of God? He is a light. He is actually the light. He has been shining around the whole world. The sun shines, rises from the east and sets where? In the west. The Son of God, the light of God, also rose from the east in Israel and has been shining around the whole world. The light of the gospel has been going forth. And in this seventh church age, it ended in the west. Anytime from now, the resurrection will take place. The rapture will strike. No more time. The gospel has ended in the west. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. Hallelujah. That is what we are raised up for. That last prophet. Church, see, Jude verse 14. It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Hallelujah. The seventh from Adam, he was taken up. verse 14. Okay. He said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, talking of judgment. But he's calling him the seventh from Adam. And what happened to Enoch? Enoch did not see grave. Enoch is the first human being that was raptured. And people are, you are wondering, why will God be specific about Enoch? Because he is the seventh from Adam. Prophetically telling us that the rapture will take place in the seventh church age. This is that seventh church age. Praise the Lord. Prophetically speaking again, Elisha had a double portion of Elijah. Elisha was a follower of Elijah. He was so filled with the Holy Ghost until the spirit of rapture, resurrection was on him in the grave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody touched him. Somebody touched Elisha in the grave. In the grave. Somebody touched Elisha in the grave. He came back to life. Somebody, listen. Somebody touched Elisha. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Hallelujah. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Somebody here, the ministry we are following is the ministry of the Elijah anointing. Somebody here, by faith, Elisha is dead. William Branham is dead. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Somebody here, our Elisha is dead. He's in the grave. But you can touch him through the message that he has preached and receive rapturing faith. Somebody here. That's why I said, listen very well. You're under a ministry, a life-giving ministry. The ministry of William Marion Branham is a life-giving ministry. If you can touch it by faith, by taking heed to what he has taught, and what he taught is what we are teaching here. All we say in this ministry is what that man taught. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I read the last scripture. Let me read the last scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is communion service. That's why I'm preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The last thought, not the last scripture. I still have two scriptures. After this one, the last thought is the last thought, I mean to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Before somebody will say, Pastor is a liar. I no lie. I am telling you the truth. Apostle Paul, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That is what we are coming to celebrate here on this resurrection day. For as often, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many die, many sleep. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I'm talking about crucifixion of Jesus afresh. How do you crucify Jesus afresh? How? Matthew chapter 12. There are two ways you do it. Matthew chapter 12 spoke about in verse 31. Praise God. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. What is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? I told you this several times. To see the Holy Ghost in action and you call it devil, out of, not out of ignorance, but out of jealousy. Out of jealousy, you call the move of God anywhere, you call it devil. That is blasphemy. God says that sin will not be forgiven here or hereafter. He said any sin against the Son of Man is forgivable, but the sin against the Holy Ghost, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, is not forgiven here or hereafter. Why? Because Christ sin against the Son of Man is Christ in his earthly ministry. He came to be put to shame. He came to be humiliated. He came to be spat upon, to be caned, to be despised, and to be rubbished, to be killed, to be insulted. So when you insult him, it is part of the ministry. But after he has endured that, even to that painful death on the cross, and he overcame, and now the same Christ comes back now as the Holy Ghost to move in the church, and you still call him devil. You are crucifying him a second time. He will not take it, whoever you are. He demonstrated it with Moses. He's no respecter of persons. You cannot strike Christ two times. Moses struck the rock a second time. It cost him the promised land. So who are you that you think you will do it and go free? Blasphemy. And even in a ministry like this, people are blaspheming the Holy Ghost here out of jealousy. God is using a brother. God is using a sister. There are people that are taking torchlight and following people to make sure they look at something around you and call the grace of God in your life devil. A sister in this church received a text message from somebody that I'm sure is a sister. A fellow sister. A sister that came as a new member in the church, and God is using her seriously. And I still have that text message in my phone till now. The sister forwarded it to me, say, see what she's going through. You just came yesterday. Instead of you to sit down, you are this. The anointing that you have, have you confirmed? Is it the anointing of God? And this, so that you'll be noticed by the pastor. And you just came now. And all that nonsense. And I called that sister's number. She refused to pick it. I called the number several times. She refused to pick it. Unless that sister repents and send another text asking for forgiveness, you have blasphemed. God does not play like that. You can do that in the denomination where anything goes. God has concluded them and hung them on the shelf. Not in a place like this. Who stopped you from exercising your gift in this church? Why are you jealous of another person? That is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. When you do that, you are hitting at Christ's head. Another time, he will turn back and strike at you. That is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second one is 2 Peter chapter 2. And the sister, where do I? They hear now, feel they hear me now. If you're a true child of God, you will break down and repent. But if you're a serpent seed, now the thing go hard. If you go now, you go cook another text again. Send them to the sister. That's evidence, that's a serpent seed. Because there is nothing in them to repent. They are of their father, Papa Cain. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That is a pig that goes back to poto poto. The truth is this, church. What he's saying is, you have known all you are supposed to know. You have been a partaker of the grace and reality of God. You have seen every reason to live like Lot's wife. But while you are living, you turn back. Not just turning back. He said, but you are overcome again with those same things that you repented from before. There are people that leave Brother Assembly and they still go back to wear trousers. They go back, they wear their earrings. They go back and they do what the nonsense they do with their hair, painting and all the rest. I'm not talking about borderline Christians. So there are people that are in the borderline. They never enter, they never come out. They see they make a marry place. This pastor, I never understand, make a marry place. I don't understand. I'm not talking about those ones. They are the ones that when they are coming to church for Jesus Apostle, they will remove earring, put inside their bag and come. I'm not talking about those ones. Those are total unbelievers. I'm not talking about those ones. I am talking to the real seed of God. Those who have truly made up their mind to serve the Lord under any reason. But after some time, they look back. And why will you look back? It is because there was no conviction. You have not made up your mind. So one day, Pastor Moses will say, I have backslidden, Abby. They go to nightclub again. They do DJ. They say, what did happen? Oh, Brother Moses, what did they do for nightclub? Now backslid. I don't backslid. Backslid. Which backslid? Then my wife, the waka one day, go jam me with the girl. He go catch me. They say, talk to one girl for phone. Then when they talk, I say, what happened? He say, honey, pray for me. I don't understand what is happening. Be like, say, I don't backslid. Honey, make it they pray for me. Be like, say, I don't go back to the world. Don't pray for me. Pray for me. You never left the world before. He gets something where you define. And when God delayed it, you decided to manifest who you are. He said, you are a dog that has gone back to her vomit. The things that you vomited, you are going back again to eat it. It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was watching the television and I saw thousands of Christians in Jerusalem. They were walking with the carry cross exactly that path to Golgotha that Jesus Christ followed. up with the cross. They carried the cross. The reporter said that they were walking on the footsteps of Jesus to Golgotha. I laughed, oh, and I fell down. See, it is not a physical walk in the footstep. To be like Jesus is to be like Jesus. See, the songwriter said, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. It is not for you to say, Nahia Iwaka, Mokwe Kariam, in remembrance of him. If you want to remember him, you want to follow his footsteps, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are to follow his life. The Bible in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, we are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to conform. It is a life that we live, not Jerusalem walking on the footstep. I see them looking like holy people. If they know the implication of that dramatization, they will never go near it, because it was what they were doing, carrying that cross. It was the religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that crucified Jesus. If they know what they are dramatizing, they will never go and carry that cross like that and be going. Religious people that killed him, because what they did at that time is what they are doing now again. Who are those destroying Christianity? The same people that are there carrying cross on the streets of Jerusalem. It is a life that you live. Hallelujah. It's a life that you live. It's a life that you live. Serene and holy, obedient, lowly, on earth I long to be like him, up
to life
journey, from earth to glory. I only ask to be like everybody, to be like him, to be like
Jesus,
to be like Jesus.
On earth I long,
on earth I long,
to be like him,
to be like him. A true life joy,
from end to glory,
from end to glory,
yeah.
I only
to be,
to be
my
verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1. I am reading verse 13 as I close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, bright assembly, Christians all over the world, listening to me, guide up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope, this hope that we have, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received a tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Finally, Romans chapter 6. Final. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How did Apostle Paul answer it? Say it again. God forbid. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? What did he say? Say very loud. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to obey it, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, be made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23, everybody, shall we go? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the church will say, I don't finish. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up, church?